This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And in recent years, the player's been dire. I've been bored out of my brain some days. It's hard to generate that enthusiasm. But it just needs a few people in the crowd who will actually start cheering and supporting, and especially just that simple Villa, Villa, Villa. You can't beat that.
My old man said.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. This is one of our extra 0.5 shows. Bit more of a stripped down experience, so if you haven't listened to the show before, do check out the normal show for the fun and games that we normally have there. So no Dan Rogers for this episode. He's too busy for the likes of you and me. We'll be meeting together to do another show, an election special. Only joking about the election special. Instead of Monsieur Rogers, I interviewed a Villa fan called John Flanner, who has recently released a book called Beautiful Game, Beautiful Memories. And the thing about John is, at the age of 19, around the mid-60s, he actually went blind, and henceforth has been going to Villa Park for over 50 years and experiencing the games without being able to see them. Which probably the last couple of seasons, it's probably been a benefit. But imagine not knowing what Gary Shaw looked like, or what Alan Hutton looked like, or never ever seeing Olof Mellberg's beard. It's a bit surreal when you think about it, and that's why we were keen to have a chat with him. Originally, it was going to be with Peter MacFarlane, who scored two goals in the 1957 FA Cup final to win us the trophy the last time we have. Unfortunately, Peter was ill and couldn't make it. Peter was a big idol of John's back in the day, and he finally got to meet Peter for the first time on Wembley Way for the 2015 FA Cup final, the one that I've tried to wipe from my memory. And obviously, Peter wanted to help him promote the book. Still, considering John's been around for a considerable chunk of the club's history, he was definitely worth catching up with. Unfortunately, I was late getting there because I was out of town coming in and there was a train cancellation. So we only managed to get about 20 minutes in, and there's a couple of minutes missing from the interview, but you'll see where that is when you listen to it, and I'll fill you in. But it's a good old chat. We discussed the good old days of Villa versus Blues derbies, where stands would be mixed and fans would stand there arm in arm together. Mixed crowds before the away segregation came in. We'll also talk about Aston Villa's last season and what John thought about that. And we also talk about the atmosphere and John's perceptions of how it's changed, and also a death threat that he got off the Zulus once upon a time. But it's something different, it's something interesting, so check it out. We'll be back shortly with Dan. We're going to do a Mom's QT, questions and answers, so if you've got any issues, topics, questions about the season ahead, or pre-season ahead even, do drop us a tweet at Aston Villa Pod and use the hashtag MomsQT, MomsQT, and become a patron as well. Go to astonvilla.com, click on the patron, let's get to 100 before the season starts. Right, I don't do an intro in the show. We'd already been introduced, and because of the time, we just got cracking straight away. So, without further ado, here's John and I in the William McGregor suite at Villa Park, talking about his time supporting Villa and his book, Beautiful Game, Beautiful Memories. Enjoy and stay safe.
What did you think about this season, for starters?
Are we recording now, or are we just generally chit-chatting? Well,
yeah,
this season, I must admit, like a lot of Villa supporters, I started out with great hope, and I was pleased with the signings, and a little bit disappointed that we got Di Matteo, because I would have liked Steve Bruce at the start of the season.
Right.
But in actual fact, I thought we played some decent football to start with, but of course, we just drew too many games, which were very frustrating, and a lot of individual errors. I was disappointed we signed an inexperienced goalkeeper.
Yeah, because, me too.
Yeah, for this league, you need experience, and, well, any league, really. And Gallini was just inexperienced, and coming from a foreign country as well, the whole thing was new to him. So I was disappointed with that, but generally, I was quite pleased with the play, but disappointed with the results. And then when Steve Bruce came, I was pleased. And as things have panned out, I'm just beginning to feel a few concerns at the moment. I think defensively we're really solid. I got no problems with the back five, and then with Jedinak. I just think that's solid. But the midfield still worries me tremendously. I think the players we've signed, I really expected great things from January onwards. But it's been disappointing to see Urahan and Lansbury not banging in the goals and not clicking. And against Blackburn, I was so shocked to see the team selection, to see Lansbury out wide and not looking as though he knew what he was doing. And just having to rely so much on Jonathan Codger. It's just been a bit worrying going forward.
And now he's injured, it's even more worrying. But I think at the end of the day, you can't really rely on him anyway.
No,
there needs to be a team there.
Yeah, they've actually got to really do something for next season. Actually, I find they need to get two strikers, maybe a Hogan and one other, and get them working together as a partnership. That's actually vital. Going back to the Villa Birmingham game the other week, you know, I would normally be ecstatic that we beat the Blues.
Yeah.
But I came away feeling really deflated. Part of me felt a bit sorry for Birmingham. I know some Villa fans won't thank me for saying that. But we had one corner, one shot, one goal. It's disgusting.
We had one corner against Blackburn as well.
Yeah.
Consecutive weeks. It is a big concern.
It takes me back to the FA Cup final against Arsenal, where they get that
Don't go back.
Exactly the same. I'd rather go back to the Liverpool game in the semi-final, because that was so sweet. That's one of the happiest moments I've had in recent years as an Aston Villa supporter. And I'll always be grateful to Tim Sherwood for that he gave us that great day out at Wembley. It was such a shock. And it actually stunned the whole football world, I think.
And
it was really great.
You're in a position where you've supported Villa almost half of its existence. Give or take 10 years.
Wow. Right. So 60 years, yeah.
So, I mean, my context is I think I was about your age when the European Cup was won. So, at your age when you were watching Villa win the FA Cup in 57.
Yes.
So, about eight, nine. So, in the terms of what's happening at the moment, I mean, this period of Aston Villa history is the worst I've seen. I mean, I've seen one relegation before, but we bounced right back. But obviously, you've been through like the late 60s when Villa were almost, you know, in financial trouble as well.
Yeah, well, in the late 60s, we were just on the verge of going bankrupt. And I know Doug Ellis had a lot of critics, but he rescued our club at that point. And he brought in Tommy Docherty, the Doc, as he was called.
Yeah.
And overnight, there was a transformation. The crowds went from about 10,000 to over 40,000 from one game to the next. And the atmosphere was incredible. We went on an amazing ride with Tommy Docherty. He brought in some fabulous players like Bruce Rioch and Pat McMahon and Chico Hamilton, who became big favourites. And then he also set up a youth system, and from that came John Gidman and Brian Little, players like that. So he did a lot of good work for the Villa, did Tommy Docherty. And then, of course, we sunk down to the third division.
Yeah.
Wonderful memories there with Andy Lockhead and the others, away to Oldham, winning them 6-0, and getting to the League Cup final against Tottenham. And okay, we lost it to Martin Chivers' goals.
When you speak to fans around your age, they do look back on those third division days very fondly. It's not all doom and gloom. It was kind of a good time.
I said to my son last season when we got relegated, I said, it's not the end of the world, Ian. I said, there is life after the Premier League. He said, oh, don't come that one. And okay, it was a big shame for a lot of people at the club who lost their jobs, and you can't override that. Yeah. That's always the sad side. But actually, there's many supporters who would rather be down in the Championship winning more games than actually in the Premier League getting beat every week. But what I will say is that I'm actually really pleased with what Dr. Tony Shaw has done so far.
Yeah.
I'm excited by his vision for the club. You know, I love Aston Villa, and I believe we should be big on the world stage.
We were there in the beginning.
Through Aston Villa, the Football League was formed. We've always been innovators. We've been at the forefront of change. And I truly believe we are a great club, in name only at the moment, I admit. But I believe we're a club with a destiny. And when I hear what Dr. Tony has planned for this club, I get excited. I would love to be around to see that happen. And, you know, I look at the likes of Real Madrid now and Atletico Madrid, two great clubs in one city. Hey, why can't we dream and have Aston Villa and Birmingham City making this city great in the world? You know, because sport does that. It raises the profile of a city.
I mean, it would definitely be better if Birmingham and Villa were in, let's say, the equivalent position of Everton and Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. You see, I would love to see Birmingham City second in the Premier League, as long as Villa were top.
Yeah. I mean,
I just want them to be one place below us all the time. That's all. But I don't wish them any ill.
One of the interesting things that a lot of younger listeners won't realise is, back in the day, if Villa weren't playing at home, Villa fans who lived locally would go and see the Blues or West Brom. And you say in your book, it was a kind of a time that troubled you once the whole kind of segregation came in and they started putting the away fans, because before fans were mixed.
Yeah.
And they would chant their songs whilst, you know, standing next or sitting next to each other.
Yes.
Who can get the loudest, and you're actually standing next to each other.
I remember I had
a bizarre concert.
Almost collapsing with exhaustion, standing next to my friends, and there'd be a group of Villa supporters, a group of Birmingham, you go, Villa, Birmingham, Villa. You'd shout, and as loud as you try to outshout them, you collapse with exhaustion in fits of laughter, just hugging one another. It was incredible. But also, we appreciate football.
Yeah.
So when you go to watch a game, I could actually appreciate some of the Birmingham City players for their skill. Likewise with West Brom or Wolves or any other team for that matter. Like at the moment, I can really appreciate Tottenham, the way they play football. They play football the way the beautiful game should be played, and it's exciting. And
can you pinpoint a time when you really notice this change, when kind of segregation of putting away fans in the away end, you know, kind of started and it became the norm?
Yes, I think it was in the 1970s when there were lots of trouble with Leeds and Chelsea supporters. And sadly, you know, Birmingham City themselves got a bad reputation with the Zulu Warriors.
Yeah.
In fact, I had some experience of that because I actually conducted a campaign where I encouraged, after the Heysel Stadium disaster, I formed, because I'm actually a Christian, and I formed a prayer group to support Aston Villa Christian Supporters Association with the full backing of Doug Ellis and the then manager, Graham Turner. And we got a lot of press coverage for that. And, you know, I'm not saying our prayers made massive changes, but I began to contact other clubs and through the media to see what they too could form prayer groups. And maybe before the game, we could get together as two groups to pray for peace on the terraces. And my wife got a phone call one night when I was out from someone purporting to be from the Zulu Warriors, saying that if your husband sets foot in our ground, we'll knife him. And we reported to the police, and they got onto that, and we had to describe the guy's voice. But that's how crazy people were, you know, even in those days. And I say in my book, this is a sport, not war.
Yeah. It pretty much became war, didn't it, locally?
Yeah, yeah. That's
and,
right.
I mean, and now we have a derby, which is probably, it's like one of the most nastiest derbies in the country.
It is, and that's I just don't like the idea of a local derby being at lunchtime on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that penalises a lot of kids who play football on a Sunday morning, like I used to.
Yeah.
A lot of those kids are season ticket holders with their dads, and so it penalises them. It penalises people who maybe want to go to church. And let's face it, Aston Villa did come from Wesleyan Chapel.
Yeah.
So you know, it's not honouring values. And I just love to see the game go back. I don't think it'll ever go back to 3 o'clock on a Saturday, especially with television.
Sky TV might have something to say about that.
Yes, but...
But it's funny how it's... Well, it's not funny, but it's kind of sad how it's gone from local Brummies standing together, whatever team they're supporting, to the last Birmingham derby, where the police pretty much segregated the whole of this... local area where the Blues fans could only come in from the Witton side and Villa fans could come in from the Aston side.
Yes, as you say, it has become really nasty. And I was just saying to someone earlier today that after the Heysel Stadium disaster, the next cup final was Liverpool and Everton.
Yeah.
And what the police allowed, they allowed the supporters to mingle and be together.
Yeah.
And there were several photographs, I believe, of supporters tying their blue and white and red and white scarves together.
Yeah, that's one of my memories from my youth, is like watching a final where fans were sitting together, like Everton and Liverpool fans sitting together.
Well, John Motson said at that final, he said, why does it take a tragedy like Heysel to actually bring people together?
Yeah.
You know, in war times, people don't... Like, last year I was listening to all the broadcasts about the Battle of the Somme, and they said, how was it 729, 20,000 young men went over the hill and were killed. You know, fighting for our country. They didn't stop and ask which football team you support. I ain't going over the hill with you.
Yeah.
They were all united in a common, to defeat a common enemy. And, you know, those people who gave their lives in war, if they look back today, they gave it for our freedom. I wonder what they would say if they see people having to be segregated going to a football game. I can't even bring my grandson to Villa Park when Aston Villa play. He's a Manchester United supporter. And I brought him when he was about 8 years of age. And because he stood up to cheer when Man U scored, one of the stewards threatened to throw him out.
Yeah,
he was 8 years of age, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Where's the freedom? Why can't he come? I mean, I don't support Manchester United, but he does. So why can't he come and sit with me?
I don't know. Well, obviously, this is the club don't want trouble to flare up. And I mean, I was in the Holt End, and I think against Manchester United. And as soon as there were some kids there with their parents who had obviously just they're only able to get tickets in the home end, and the kid started cheering when they equalised. And you know, you're seeing people at like 50 years old hissing at them and pointing them out, and you just think, well, you know, come on.
I know.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
Fair enough, it's a group of lads kind of playing up, but this is, you know, it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
How has... I mean, one of the good bits about the book is obviously when you're younger and you're telling the story of how it was then, but obviously when you went blind, it obviously changes the whole hemisphere going to a football match. But how has being a blind person... going to the football changed, and in terms of Aston Villa, how have they kind of helped you, and you know, what's been different over the decades?
Yeah, okay. Well, when I first went blind at the age of 19, interestingly, I went blind.
Was it from football?
Well, in a roundabout sort of way, but not really. What happened is I was playing Sunday League football in the Sunday Alliance, and I was playing left back, and in swinging corner came in. I was standing by the goalpost. I jumped up to head the ball, and I was shoulder charged, and I lost my balance and just banged the side of my head, left side of my head on the goalpost. It wasn't even a hard bang, but it left me immediately with blurred vision in the left eye. And as I ran up the field, I could see double of everything on the left. And
so a bit of a Peter McFarlane incident.
Yeah, that's true. And it cleared up after a while. And then a few weeks later, I was at work checking a balance sheet. And all the figures were blurred on that. And I realised, hey, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And so I went to the doctors. I went to the hospital in Birmingham. And they confirmed I got this serious loss of vision, which at first they thought was down to delayed concussion. But week by week, my sight got worse, and within 6 months, I was totally blind. But about 3 years afterwards, my brother went blind when he was 17, and then 2 years after that, my sister went blind when she was 23. So they discovered eventually that it was an hereditary condition that, in my case, just needed a bang on the head to trigger it off.
So it's
come down through my mother's side of the family and can only be passed on through a female. So none of my kids are affected, thankfully.
Right, okay.
So then going blind, the last game I actually saw, the whole game, was the 1966 World Cup final when England beat West Germany. So it wasn't a bad one to go out on, was it? Go out at the top, that's all I say.
It's all in the timing.
But the last Villa game, I can remember going to see Villa away to Stoke City, and I can't quite remember, it was 5-0 to Stoke. I think it was 6-0, actually. And Harry Burrows, the ex-Villa left winger who took over from Peter McParnell, the Villa team, he scored a hat-trick against us. And I could only see half the pitch. I think the Villa defenders could as well, actually. Yeah. But that was the... And after that, I decided, that's it. I'm never going to another game. I've finished, because there's not much point if you can't see.
Yeah.
But I think it was the following Saturday or maybe a week or two afterwards, but a mate came round on the Saturday afternoon, about 2:30, said, John, you fancy coming to the match? I said, no. I said, not much point. If I can't see, I'm not bothered. I don't want to go anymore. He said, come on, I'll give you a commentary. And he persuaded me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, this is where the recording muted. But suffice to say, basically Brian rescued John as a Aston Villa supporter, because persuaded him to go to the game. I think he turned up at his house at 2:30, and John had to explain the whole story of him going blind, but then Brian cajoled him on, and they actually arrived 15 minutes after the kickoff. Spurs were 1-0 up already, but then Villa equalised straight away. And it ended 3-3, and as John says in his book, thanks to Brian, I had kept up my record of not missing a home game for so many years, and suddenly I realised that not even being blind could take away the thrill and excitement of being at Villa Park on match days. We didn't speak that much about following Villa over the years, obviously due to time limitations. It's something I wish there was a bit more of in the book, actually, his experiences with Brian, but there's some great bits about Aston Villa players getting in touch with him after they read about his story in the Birmingham Mail, and you know, really helping him in that transition period. But one thing he certainly has experienced over the years is the atmosphere. And that's something we ended the conversation talking about.
You hear all the managers say when the crowd do get behind the team that that they do make a difference. I know we feed off the players well, and in recent years the player's been dire. I've been bored out of my brain some days. It's hard to generate that enthusiasm. But it just needs a few people in the crowd who will actually start cheering and supporting, and especially just that simple Villa, Villa, Village. You can't beat that. All these songs, I think people come now for a good sing song, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I just ask myself the question, I'd like to ask the players, does that really help the team? When the supporters are singing these songs, what songs actually help you? And I'd love to get feedback from the players so that we on the we in the ground then can actually sing those songs that really help the team.
I think when you come to see Villa for the first time, the surprising thing is that most of the songs are anti-Birmingham City songs rather than pro-Aston.
Yeah, there used to be Stand Up If You Hate Man U as well. That's died out a bit now. and also singing about Paul McGrath, Alan McAnally and Paul Birch. Great, you know, wonderful old players. Yeah. But how are they actually helping the team on the field? And the Villa, Villa, wow. You know, I think when I hear that going round the ground, I think I'd go out and play well on the pitch. It makes my ear stand on end. You know, I just love a positive atmosphere. That's what I'd like. And I just bemoan the fact that we don't have a club song. I wish we did. You know,
it's one of the big enigmas of supporting Villa.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I keep right under the end of the road, that's not swearing, is it? My son thinks it's swearing. But when I hear that, it actually sends shivers down my spine. Same with You'll Never Walk Alone when you're in Anfield. Mind you, I don't know what I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles does. I can't see the sense in that one, but never mind.
It doesn't have the same tempo. Right, I think you're needed downstairs.
Okay.
Your launch started
without you. Hey? Really?
Yeah, you've got.
Have I missed the buffet?
No, it's
you haven't missed the food.
I'm just to tell you, you have to go down there.
Okay, fine.
But thank you very much, John,
have you got
for joining us.
There?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Anytime. My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.